First things first, poskim bechvod achsanya. Birshus Rav Benny Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Who was a teacher of so many of ours, all of ours, Batsim. Birshut Rabbanit, Ubnei Beita, Mibad Alachayim, Tovim Aruchim. Birshus Rabbanim, Kol Chavirai. And as Rav Shapiro Zatzal, Rosh Hashiva of Merkaz, the Chief Rabbi of Yerushalayim would say, when a Jew speaks in Yerushalayim, poskim b'chvod achsanya, in Palter and Shel Melech, when we're in the palace of the king, we ask Rishus of the Balabais of Hashem himself. Long ago and far away from here, in the town of Radin, about 100 years ago, a desperate family came to the Chafetz Chaim because their son was being conscripted to the military. And when a Jewish boy is conscripted to the military, lo aleinu, he was conscripted to the military in those days to a Goyish army. It basically was going to signal the end of their Yiddishkeit, of their Jewish life. For all intents and purposes, there was no practice, there was no kosher food, no davening, they couldn't bring their tefillin with them, couldn't bring a beged, couldn't bring a tzitzis, not a yarmulke, not svarim, there was no minyan, no way to express Yiddishkeit, not matzah on Pesach, not shofar on Rosh Hashanah, not neros on Chanukah. So these parents came with their child, with their son, to the Chafetz Chaim, to the Tzadik Hador. And they begged the Chafetz Chaim to do something. Can you intercede? Can you do something? Can you pull off a miracle? Could you daven? Could you give us a bracha that our child, that our son, should be spared this horrific fate of being conscripted to the Russian military? Chafetz Chaim said, I could do what I do, but this is the gezeirah of our generation. He took the boy's name and said, I'll daven every day. And the mother with tears in her eyes and the son sitting there like, didn't know what to do with himself. He turned to the Chafetz Chaim and said, Rebbe, Rabbeinu, is there anything that I can do? Do you have an eitzah for me? As a young yeshiva bacher, a yeshiva student, an erlucha boy who's going to be going into a totally gas goyish environment with nothing, nothing in his hands to express his Yiddishkeit. Not tefillin, not tzitzis, nothing. What is he supposed to do? How is he supposed to hang on? So the Chafetz Chaim closed his eyes and held this boy's hand and said, Do you feel that? He said, Rebbe, I don't feel anything except for being scared. He said, listen carefully. Do you feel your heart beating? Said, yes, I feel my heart beating. Chafetz Chaim said to him, every single day, in the morning when you wake up, and at night when you go to sleep, wherever you are and whatever is happening to you, face Yerushalayim, and feel your heart beating, and know that the heartbeat of a Jew is the rhythm of Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. That kol od, as long as a Jewish heart beats, it beats to the rhythm of Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. You can take a Jew out of Yerushalayim, you could put us through a ringer for 2,000 years. You can never take Yerushalayim out of a Yid. Our hearts collectively and individually beat to the rhythm of Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. As far as history goes, from the beginning of time until today, and without being dramatic, just al pi pshat, just basic, from the beginning of time until today, the story of our nation follows the order of what happens on the night of Pesach, of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're holding in the final chapter of Hallel Nirtza, of the generations where we express our appreciation, our lahodos u'lahalel to Hashem for bringing us back home, for giving us another chance, for recognizing Nirtza, that whatever has happened and whatever is happening, now is the time to say Shir HaShirim. We've come to the end of the Seder, we've come to the end of history. It's time to recognize Nirtza, Rotza Ani, that Hashem wants us. The restoration and the unification of Yerushalayim. 48 years ago today is the beginning of that stage of Nirtza, of Shir HaShirim, of an open expression of Hashem's love for us. But it's our job and our opportunity and our challenge to recognize that, to embrace that, to get with it. Hishbati eschem b'nos Yerushalayim. Shlomo HaMelech expressed it. Hishbati eschem b'nos Yerushalayim. Beware! Nations of the world, take heed. Those who intend on attacking and rising up against the Klal Yisrael, who rise up against b'nos Yerushalayim. If you violate the oath, the precondition of creation and the existence of the world, that the nation of Israel dwells in the land of Israel to fulfill God's will. If the nations of the world dare to get in between those lovers, Am Yisrael and Hashem, B'tzivos ba'ayalos asada, they'll be defenseless like gazelles in the field. Im ta'iru v'im ta'oru asa'ava ad shetechpatz. If you dare provoke HaKadosh Baruch Hu and try to interfere with that relationship between lovers, like ayalos asada, like deer in the head, like deer trapped in the headlights. President Nasser is the greatest leader of Egypt since Paro. In the springtime of 1967, closed off the Straits of Tehran and the Suez Canal on the southernmost border of Eretz Israel. Began to mass troops on the Egyptian border. They were well armed. They had Russia behind them. It was the greatest superpower at that time. More artillery than the United States, deeper pockets than the United States. And we're directly backing Egypt. That's on our southern border. The residents of Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, right where we are, are being sniped at by Jordanians, shellings from the eastern side of Yerushalayim into the western side of Yerushalayim. Artillery was being moved on our northern border, on the Golan Heights, through Syria and in Lebanon. And Russia, the Soviet Union, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram. The Russians, the Soviet Union, were sending more and more and more artillery and tanks and financial aid and support north and south to strengthen the Arab bloc. In the United Nations, Yichariv Beisam, in the United Nations, there's open talk about the destruction of the Jewish people. Leader after leader in the Arab world stood up and declared that the Jewish people will be pushed into the sea. This is in the shadow of the Holocaust. In the shadow of the Holocaust. Open, blatant, brazen descriptions of Jewish men, women, and children that they intended to push into the sea. And there was a call for global jihad. We were surrounded on all sides. Tens of thousands of soldiers came from Iran, from Iraq, from Saudi Arabia, from Yemen, to strengthen the southern border, the eastern border, and the northern border, all the Arab legions that were gathering. And day and night, in the press and in the media, there were calls for the destruction of the Jewish state. Kol dodi hine zeba medaleg al harim, mekapetz al hagvaot. But behold, as Shlomo Melech described, the voice of my beloved medaleg al harim, leaping over mountains, mekapetz al hagvaot, skipping over mountain ranges. The incredible Hashgacha Elyona, Nisim Gluyim, that I heard Rabbeni Zatzal speak about, first person that he experienced, that he lived with, that he was a part of. Mekapetz al hagvaot, I remember saying, screaming. Within 3 hours and 5 minutes, the Israeli Air Force wiped out 286 Egyptian aircraft, and a third of the Egyptian Air Force was wiped out. Nasser was brought to his knees, and in a period of less than a week, in less than 1 week, the Six-Day War, Eretz HaKodesh, the modern state of Israel, tripled in size. Tripled in size. In the blink of an eye. The Golan Heights, Yehuda and Shomron, the biblical heartland, Hebron, Beit Lechem, Kiva Rachel, Shiloh, Shechem, Beit El, Sefer Bereishis, Bekitzer, and Yushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, reunified. Yinezeo made Achar Katleinu. We thought we'd be alone forever. We thought that the end of the story was written in Jewish blood. But Vihine Ze Omeid Acha Kasleinu, our beloved was standing on the other side of the wall. Mashkiach min achalonot, peering through the windows. Meitzitz min acharakim, peeking through the latticework of the Kotel HaMaravi. Just to understand what was going on in the days before the Six-Day War. It's the springtime of 1967. There were contingency plans that were written up by the government. Friends, this is modern history. This just happened. There were contingency plans that the Israeli government had written up and prepared for a bloodbath, for a massacre. The most conservative estimates were that if the state of Israel were to sustain a direct hit first by the Egyptians, Jordanians, and from the north, conservative estimate would be that the first wave of casualties would reach 40,000. That's what was being planned for. 40,000 casualties. Proportionally, that's equal to about 3 million Americans. Just to understand proportionally the size of the Jewish state at that time. Militarily, we were outnumbered 20 to 1. Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Iraq, Algiers, all with Russian support and with German scientists supplying them with poison gas. Now, if that sends shivers down our spines, imagine what it was less than a quarter century after Auschwitz. The U.S. government, aware of that, sent 22,000 gas masks to Israel secretly in the days before the Six-Day War, with the understanding and the assumption that that's what was going to be taking place. There were daily air raid drills in every city in this country. Schools, homes were being outfitted, windows were being taped up. Thousands of extra plasma units were being shipped in from all over Europe, preparing for the inevitable thousands and thousands of casualties that the hospitals were preparing for and turning cafeterias and schools into emergency centers where there'd have to be blood transfusions because it was going to be a bloodbath. That's what the assumption and the understanding was in Eretz Israel during those days. You look at the records of the Chevra Kedisha. Michael Oren has this in his book, 6 Days of War. The Chevra Kedisha ordered 10,000 extra body bags from other Chevra Kedishas around Europe and around the world, getting ready to prepare for the amount of corpses that everyone assumed there were going to be in Eretz HaKodesh. Gan HaPamon and Gan HaAtzma'ut, Gan Sakher, there was a contingency plan to turn them into cemeteries. And an extra 10,000 graves were dug in cemeteries all over Eretz Israel in preparation for what everyone assumed was going to be a total wipeout. Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbanim, chief among them, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz Zatzal and Mir Yeshiva, instructed the Talmidim to work day and night, to be Mevatel Seder, and to work through Shabbos. Not just to be Mevatel learning, but to work through Shabbos to prepare sandbags to protect the yeshiva and the communities in which they were. The dairy factory, Tnuva, was operating 24 hours a day, cranking out food, dairy products, including Shabbos, because it was assumed that Tnuva was going to be a target, and that Jews wouldn't have food because of whatever Matzor was going to be taking place, that people would starve to death because of the bombardments. So they're cranking out and producing food. Bakeries in Yerushalayim were working 24 hours a day, distributing loaves of bread in the days preceding the war. There was absolute hysteria. All the official state files in the Knesset were brought down. There was no cloud. They weren't backed up digitally. They were brought down underground in protective bomb shelters. The Dead Sea Scrolls were lowered underground to be protected. The animals in the biblical zoo, the wild animals in the biblical zoo, were put to sleep so they wouldn't run free and run wild in the streets. Just to understand the context, just historically, what it means that we were outnumbered 20 to 1. In the days of Matisyahu HaKohen Gadol Ubanav, in the days of Hanukkah, in which we were facing insurmountable odds against the Greeks, the Maccabees, the Maccabean revolt, we were outnumbered 4 to 1. Five times that in 1967. And for a couple thousand years, we're lighting Neros and spinning dreidel and giving out gelt chocolate coins to celebrate that victory. Hanan Porat, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, one of the paratroopers who came, first reached Har HaBayit. They weren't the first ones in to Yerushalayim, but of the first brigade that reached Har HaBayit and the Kotel, Hanan Porat was telling anyone who would listen, Chevre, we're writing a perek in Tanakh now. We're writing a new chapter in history. We're writing a new perek in Tanakh. And friends, sitting in Abu Tor, looking over the old city in Ir David, we're part of that chapter in Tanakh. Just to understand the way people felt in those days, I just want to read to you direct quote, a translation of an article that appeared in Hamodia. Anybody know what Hamodia newspaper is? God knows, Hamodia. Hamodia is the official voice, chauffeur, news of Agudas Yisrael. The Ger Rebbe is the president of Hamodia. It's published by Ger Hasidim, and it expresses the views of Agudas Yisrael of the world, of Eretz Yisrael, and speaks for all intents and purposes, the majority of the Hasidic world. This is direct from Hamodia, 1967. The editorial, called The Day's Echo. The liberation of Yerushalayim Bein HaChomot and the Kotel HaMaravi by the IDF, by Tzva Hagana Yisrael, who is striking its enemies, is the climax of the events of these great days. Once again, our tears will moisten the wall, which is the remnant of the house of our splendor, Srid Beis Mikdashenu, the place from which the Shekhinah has never departed. Once again, we'll daven there as we did until 20 years ago, before our enemies separated us from there. A great hour has come upon us, an hour of the revelation of the will of the divine providence, which is shining its countenance upon us. This greatness has occurred with dramatic speed, and it surprised us all, catching us spiritually unprepared. We arrived there with supernatural leaps and bounds, and it's truly too unbelievable to be told, were it not that we have seen it with our own eyes. From fear and trembling to deliverance and overturning. Israeli soldiers have raced across the land of Israel seeing clouds of fire, clouds that restored the honor of Israel, and have left the world speechless, unable to believe their eyes. A nation under siege turned the situation upside down. And it went from darkness to great light. Me'afela l'or gadol. Human intelligence is incapable of understanding this. And it's doubtful if the world's greatest military strategists would be able to explain these events in comprehensible human language, unless they took recourse to the lingo of the Jewish people, who are well trained in miracles. For as in the days of when we left Mitzrayim, Hashem Ish Milchama has shown us wonders, Arenu Niflos, that have no comparison in all of human history. Only one who refuses to face the truth will not see the hand of God who has led the IDF through the Sinai Desert, the gates of Yerushalayim, the walls of Yericho, back to Gush Etzion on the way to Hebron, Ir HaAvos, the place of Maras Machpelah, Ur Yushene, Hebron, awakening the merit of the sleepers of Hebron, in whose merit we've come so far. The straits of the Red Sea, which in a lightning operation have again been opened to Israeli shipping. Hodu Adonai Kitov Kileolam Chazdol Yisrael. Let us praise the Lord who is good, who alone does miracles, who remembered us in our loneliness and delivered us from our suffering, for his loving kindness endures forever. After the war, Raful, General Rafi Eitan, he was the commanding officer of the Tzanchanim in the south, not an outwardly observant Jew, said as follows, quote, "Apparently someone in heaven was watching over us. Every unintended action they took, and every unintended action we took, always turned to our advantage. So much so, and Malcolm Gladwell even mentions this in an article in the New Yorker a few years ago, that in West Point, where they study the history and strategy of every single war in human history, the Six-Day War, experts say, there's just not much you could learn from it. This is just not anything we could draw militarily from, other than, better to attack first than be attacked. Everything is just against the odds and doesn't make any sense in human terms. We thought that we were alone. We thought that we'd be alone forever and that it was over. There'd be a bloodbath. 20-1 odds. 4 times as many as the days of Hanukkah. But Kival, Tine, Omed, Acha, Kasleinu. Behind the wall, Mashgiach min achalonot, Meitzitz min acharakim. The Bedichever, the Kedusha Slavi, or Blevi Yitzchak ben Sarah Sasha, explains that there's different ways that Hashem, that the Ribono Shel Olam, expresses Hashgacha Elyona, divine providence. There's 2 b'chinot, there's 2 aspects to it. One is that Hashem relates to us on the level of Mashgiach min achalonot. And someone is looking through a window, look through the windows. So you can see, it's big, it's broad, light comes in, there's clarity. And you can see who's on the other side. If someone's looking through the window at us, we could see them, and they could see us. Mashgiach min achalonot. That's one way that the Ribono Shel Olam expresses providence in our direction. When it's clear, when we can see God, and we know that God is seeing us. But then there's another b'china, there's another aspect that Kedushas Levi explains. And that's the level of Mashgiach, of Meitzitz Men Acharakim. When someone is peering through the lattice work, God willing, you find the Kala, wife, and maybe during Shul, you know, during Hakafos or after Kriyas and Megillah and everyone's dancing around, there's a certain excitement. Kind of like, you know, turn around maybe to see, like maybe she's there looking, but you just see a couple fingers through the lattice work or I'd often just see like a cement wall, you know, like a little bit of like a white glass there. There's a level of Meitzitz Men Acharakim. When someone's peering through the lattice work, so when you're on the other side of the lattice work, you can't see anybody on the other side. It just looks like a sheet or something that's kind of, you know, blocking the other person. But says the Kedushas Levi, this when Hashem is behind the lattice work and we can't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem sees us just as clearly as when He's looking through a window. In those days leading up to the Six-Day War, there was such tension, such anxiety. I mean, my father described it when he was a kid. It wasn't an observant household. So they were all sitting around the radio listening. Every hour on the hour, they're just talking about how there's more troops massing on the southern border. And Nasser screaming and yelling to wipe the Jews off the face of the earth. There was this feeling among Holocaust survivors and among a generation who are the children of Holocaust survivors, that it's all happening all over again. And that trauma was very real. That fear was very real. That sense of abandonment, being al-saf ha-yush, on the edge of just totally giving up hope, looking back and trying to see where is the Ribbono Shel Olam, but just seeing lattice work. Says the Kedushas Levi, when you walk up close to the wall, when you walk up close to the lattice work, and you peer through, you can see very clearly. Hinei ze omeid achar kasleinu. Meitzitz min acharakim min Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam, was watching us the entire time. Einei Hashem Elokecha ba, the land of Israel, Yerushalayim, which is called the Bat Ayin, the eye of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was watching us the entire time. And it was only after the incredible open miracles of the Six-Day War, on Koach Iyar, and this week, we redeemed large swaths of our biblical heartland, where we were able to go up to the Kotel HaMaravi and to touch the wall and look into the latticework, into the cracks of the wall, and see that the Ribbono Shel Olam was Meitzitz Min HaCharakim the entire time. That Hashem was there, that the Ribbono Shel Olam was there, is there, and will be there on the other side of that wall. La'olam lo zaza shechina mikosel ha'maravi. No matter how much brokenness there is on the outside, no matter how upside down, no matter how battered and broken and shattered, and how mechurav the Beis HaMikdash might seem to be, says the Kashan Tzur Magid, only Yerushalayim Shel Mata, the Churban took place, but Yerushalayim Shel Mala, the Beis HaMikdash is still standing. In its essence, it's still there. There's still prophecy in the world. There's still Shechina in the world. We have to go up very close to the wall, to the lattice work, and look carefully. Face Yerushalayim wherever we are. Even far, far away, in a conscripted Russian army camp without tzitzis and tefillin. Wherever we find ourselves, friends, wherever we are in our lives, if we face toward Yerushalayim, we close our eyes, we imagine ourselves up against that wall, we can feel our hearts beating with the rhythm of Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. Kol Dodi Hinei Zeba, the voice of our beloved, it's coming from within us. This is the time of Shir HaShirim. Today is a day of Shir HaShirim, of Nirtza, of realizing, appreciating and celebrating how much Hashem wants us and how much we want Him. When you're dancing through the streets of Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh today, know that we're writing a new chapter in Tanakh. We're writing a perek in Tanakh, not as spectators, but as participants. We have the schus today to walk in the footsteps, not just of the paratroopers, not just of the soldiers who liberated this country, but we're walking in the footsteps of our avos and our imahos. But from the beginning of time, it was set that this place is for us. That this city, that this country, that this land, every single speck of dust of this land is ours. Rightfully and eternally. We have the ksuba between us and our beloved, the Torah HaKadosha, to prove it. And today is a day where we're here, where we tell the Ribbono Shel Olam Hineni, we're here. We're ready for prophecy. We're ready to write the next chapter. And see the Binyan Beis HaMikdash B'mehera B'meinu Amen.
Before we bench, two short songs, as Yerushalayim Shel Zahav.